Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Pop is at the Steelers media dinner in Dublin. What are you having, Bob?
French martinis.
I knew it. I called it. Jason Magny said he's having a cocktail. I said, got to be a French martini.
I think you asked him more like, what food are you eating? When he answers French martini, it tells you how the night's going.
He's drinking dinner, I mean.
Why is it that I got texts from all these people all of a sudden? Saying, 93.7 The Fan, Boney and Mother are busting your balls. I said, I don't know why. I haven't heard them.
It's PMT power.
So why is
power.
That, gentlemen?
We said, for the media dinner, we talked to Mackie about how the Guinness tastes so much better over there. And I asked innocently, is Pomp drinking a Guinness? And Pony, before even Jason could answer, goes, oh, come on, he's drinking red wine.
Yeah, I had you pegged for wine,
and then
Bob.
Jason said, no, he's not drinking wine. It's some sort of a mixed drink. And Pony, again, like the Kool-Aid man, goes, it's a French martini.
And I also said that you'd be walking around the streets of Dublin, people would recognize you, and you would come up with Irish sayings like top of the morning to you and whatnot.
You sucking diesel?
Yeah. So.
Yes, that's all happening.
But how what are you boys? Eating? We're good. What are you having for dinner then? Steak?
Steak, yeah. Yeah. That's always a go-to.
How is it over there?
Is it your first or second time
beautiful.
Over there?
First time here. But I'm telling you, this where the Steelers are staying is just a tremendous place. It's isolated. It's so far away. But it's if you want to think what Ireland is, this is what Ireland is. It's all alone. It's lush. It's... this place has a couple of golf courses on it here, Chris. Now that you are now the low net winner of the Western Pennsylvania Golf Association stable board system with a plus 38 score and 78.
Palmer,
so you would like it here.
Palmer, Mediate, Shipley, Mulsey. That's the Mount Rushmore of golf in Pittsburgh.
There you go. That's eight. Chartreuse is no slouch. That's a par 70. You better do some scoring there. So you did.
Paul Alexander, they have two great golf courses here. Paul Alexander, who is quite the golfer himself, he claims, he's like, Mulsey, you won a major now. And I don't think he was kidding. He said you won a Western Pennsylvania major right there.
And for those of us who play in this level that we play, yes, you did. So congratulations on all your success.
Thank you. Thank
you. What is your, well done. What is your number one accomplishment in golf, Bob?
This is always going to be number one for me. My father and son won a father-son. My dad and I won a father-son championship at Beaver Lakes Country Club. So it was a 36-hole event, and we were up against 15 other fathers and sons, and we won. And I still have the trophy, and it used to be his, and since he passed away, I've taken it, and it's a very proud moment for me.
Bob, I think one of my favorite golf stories for you is you and Richie did something for KDTV where you played a road game against him at Edgewood when he was still a member there.
Oh, don't remind me. I lost money on this.
Before he jumped over to Longview. Yeah.
And I was insulted
strokes.
Heavily by your partner there.
You were getting strokes, and Pony was saying he was going to make a side bet saying he'd give you 10 or whatever.
I did say that.
And you beat Richie straight up, and I think that's one of the great performances in golf history. You went into a hostile environment and just took the fight right to him.
Right, and a hostile crowd. Andrew Filippone comes up with that spot on my eye. I said, I can't be. Now, all of a sudden, I'm taking it from all angles here. So I said, I just played my game. And every now and then, you know how this works, Chris, it's there. Every now and then it isn't either. On that day it was, and I beat him by one shot, so I was very proud of that. And Rich is a good golfer.
Richie was like Greg Norman at the 96 Masters that day.
Well, really, Greg Norman at almost any major, right? Yeah, if Pomp had chipped in like Larry Mize in 88, I wouldn't have been surprised.
Bob, are you such a freak that you're keeping up on the Pirates game there right now? Like, is your phone app open? Ooh. Are you still following things?
No, I'm not doing that, but on the way here last night when Skeens was pitching, I was very much involved with that. Yes.
Okay.
I love, by the way, Bob, that they actually, and I bet you Skeens was not going to have any of it, where they, this rumor that they were going to yank him after four scoreless if he got there to get 199. I love that he pitched two more innings and just shoved. And then I felt like, since I know we're going to talk Steelers, but I felt like you could not have had a more fitting end to his season than he goes six dominant shutout innings, strikes out
and
seven,
they don't give him a win.
And gets a no decision to finish 10-10. It is the ending to his season that they, as a franchise, I felt like deserved for the way that they haven't surrounded him
with
what he needs.
Total microcosm of the entire year, and that's what we saw with him. He was good enough to do it, and he should be a unanimous Cy Young winner. I'm sorry. If there's
Do you think one
else
of those baseball Writers of America guys are going to not vote for him just so he's not unanimous? You think there are going to be some shenanigans there?
But what would be the logic? What would be the logic?
That's the problem.
He didn't pitch in any big games
like somebody won't even give logic. They'll just say, I didn't vote for him because I didn't vote for him. Who would it be? Freddie Peralta would probably be their vote since Wheeler got hurt.
Pitchers, Christopher
Wheeler,
Sanchez.
He's had a good year, but nothing like Skeens. And the fact that he's done it on this team, knowing what he has to deal with in terms of lack of offense, is spectacular. And I think the numbers bear that out. If you give him three runs a game, what that number is. And he averages not that much when he gets out there. So that's a tremendous season, man. To see that 1.97 ERA after 87 innings or so, that's pretty special.
Bob, true or false, now that you're over there, if the Steelers win on Sunday, this will go down as one of their most meaningful wins in playoff history, especially for the Rooney family.
In playoff history, you said?
No, including playoff history, I mean. Like, I feel like this might even outrank some playoff wins for them.
I mean, it'll be special, but I think, you know, it's one win out of the course of an entire season, and I think in the end, that's what you look at it as. It's for them, it's big, and this whole week should be, and this week should be celebrated for them, and the people come over here are certainly doing their share of celebration, I see. And that's fun. I mean, you get to do that. You get to go to all these great places. The pubs are fantastic. You guys have got to get here one day. You walk down some of these streets, and everyone's just friendly as can be, open arms, come in, sit down, have a pint, whatever you want. And they got Ryder Cups from 2023 playing today in the bar, and they were cheering as if it happened right now. I mean, it's a good sports place to be in. So, yeah, for them, I think it's going to be very special. And,
man,
you know,
Bob,
back in 1997.
Go ahead, Bob. Finish that 97 story.
It's a story I always tell about Cowher when he talks about when they were here for that preseason game against the Bears and what they call the American Bowl. And I remember there was a dinner the night before where Pat Rooney, Dan's wife, had marveled at the crystal trophy that went to the winner of that preseason game. And upon hearing this, Bill Cowher had a reverse thought about how he should play that game because Pat really wanted that crystal trophy. So he played more starters longer and tried to win, and they did.
Bob, I think to that point, it's interesting you brought that up. Andrew and I were talking about how they might approach this game, knowing like how Mike might approach it, because I would imagine he doesn't look at the late Dan Rooney as necessarily his former boss, but as almost a family type of figure, an older family member, with the way that the Rooneys venerate coaches here. I think you might get a more aggressive Mike Tomlin who coaches it like it's a, hey, last game of the year, let's not leave anything out there or, you know, in the playbook, so to speak. I think he might come out guns a-blazing here to try to win this thing.
Yeah, I think you're onto something there. I can sense that when we did a show with him this week. I think he's just, you know, moved by that. He knows what that all means to them, and specifically to Dan when he was the ambassador. He's very well schooled on the history and what it means. So, yeah, I could see that happening. I think they desperately want to win this game as best they can, not just to get the 3-1, but to, you know, to complete what is a good week for the Rooney family and their history here.
Bob, what is your game prediction? Minnesota crushed Cincinnati. Minnesota has Brian Flores, if you haven't heard that by now. And they're getting former Pitt Biletnikoff winner Jordan Addison back for this game on Sunday. And also, Jason Mackey told us he was shocked by the number of Vikings fans he's seen in Dublin. He thinks the Steelers will have a crowd advantage, but not a huge one on Sunday. So who are you picking in this one?
Well, first of all, he's accurate with that. I've seen a lot of purple and gold next to the Steelers' colors. So, but that, I don't think that's going to play a factor in that at all. I think Carson Wentz is to me the X factor here, one way or the other. He can be the guy who comes in and does things that J.J. McCarthy could not do in game 3 or 4 of his career if he were still playing. And if he does those things, and he has Addison, as you said, he's got Hawkinson, he's got a lot of skilled players there, all of a sudden that could be a bad recipe for the Steelers. But if the Steelers get to him and he gets frazzled and he's had a history of throwing interceptions, big numbers, I think it'd go the other way. So I'm thinking that may be the way it goes. So I'm going to say the Steelers win this one 19-17.
I see Richie Walsh 49 seconds ago. Look what I found at one of the tasting bars at Jameson Distillery, and it just says Walsh engraved into the wood of the bar. And there have to be about 20 glasses of whiskey right there in the foreground.
But he doesn't like whiskey, so he wasn't drinking them.
Bob, he doesn't like
whiskey.
He doesn't.
You had a great line. You had a great line on the Extra Point show on Sunday. I think the person Richie was interviewing kept saying dog back to him, and you said Richie should have used dude back to him.
Right, dude, dog, dude.
Dude, dog.
It's priceless. All right, Bob, enjoy Ireland. We'll see you.
And thank you, guys. Have a good night. I'm going to go back to my French martini entree and appetizer and dessert. They're all the same.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and sugar-free. First-round picks like watermelon, wild berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab 3 of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get a motion alert. check live view and see a guy looking in your car window.
Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved, home protected, bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
That only means one thing. Our friend and yours, Ray Fittipaldo, brought to you by the Western PA Injury Attorneys of LGKG, serving as your home team for over 90 years. LGKG.com. Donnie Football in for Pomp and Joe on a football Friday. Joe attending to some family matters back in Buffalo. Pomp is over in Dublin. Ray Fittipaldo joins us on the Fan Hotline, which is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Ray, pretty good odds that Pomp is a little tuned up at this moment in time. It would be, what, about 4:10 Dublin time?
Right at the start of happy hour? Yeah, I would hope so. It seems like he's having a good time. I heard him on with the guys. Was it yesterday or 2 days ago?
Yesterday, like, yeah. I think he was borderline blasted, I would say.
Good for him.
he's drinking the French martinis like they're going out of style. I'm also going to be joined by Adam Crowley in a little bit over 2 hours, and I think it's almost a guarantee that he is impaired.
I would hope so. If not, Adam's living it down if he's not.
Ray, you have any FOMO not going over there? I mean, I thought you would have been all over this. I know we brought it up last week, and you have some stuff like, you know, helping out your kids wise to why you couldn't go. But I mean, I got FOMO. It's hit me.
Nah, I mean, honestly, my daughter's birthday is on Monday, Donnie, and I was due to land like at 6, and that was with a connection in Charlotte, so when the Post-Gazette was looking for volunteers to back off the trip, I was the first one to raise my hand. I've missed too many Thanksgivings, Christmases, Christmas Eves, New Year's, all that stuff. So glad to be home for this one.
A great man and a better father, Ray Fittipaldo. That is a very nice move, Ray.
That's why everyone loves Raymond.
That is right. And you can listen to this show on demand, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. All right, Ray, a couple of people have called in. We'll get your prediction before we're done. You don't have to give it right now, but we had a few calls that said, yeah, they're going to get blown out. One guy said it will look like the Vikings-Bengals game last week. I just feel as if this game means a little bit more to the Steelers than most regular season games. Have you gotten that vibe as well?
Yeah, you know, Art Rooney addressed the team, I think it was on Monday, Donnie, so there is that aspect to it. I think everyone in that organization knows what this game means to the Steelers. But, you know, in terms of, you know, what it means, you know, I think the players are focused on this being a business trip, and just because they really want to win, I don't know if they can clean up all their mistakes on offense and defense in time to get it done. So, yeah, it's one thing to want to win the game. It's another thing to be able to put it all together with the injuries and everything else that's going on around the team right now.
Do you think that Deshaun Elliott will play in this game?
I think Elliott's got the better chance over Porter. They should be finishing up practice right about now, I would think. And we will probably have the injury report a little bit earlier today because of the time change. So I just think, Donnie, with the soft tissue injury with Joey, they're probably going to hold him back. If Elliott can get through the pain tolerance aspect of it, I think he'll probably play, but it might make sense for him to sit out as well. And then, you know, both those guys are 100% after the bye week for the Browns game. So we'll see how it goes. But if I had to pick right now, I would say Elliott has the better shot than Porter does.
But you think there's a chance that they both miss?
Yeah, I think there's a chance just because of the bye week. But we saw Harmon come back from that MCL sprain, you know, after a few weeks. And This is right around the same timetable. I think a little bit earlier for Elliott. So I think he's got the better chance.
Speaking of Derek Harmon, Ray, I thought he really looked comfortable in his first NFL game. And I know they said he's on a snap count, a pitch count, but the guy played almost 50% of the snaps. 35 snaps, I think it was, against New England, and he fit right in. He made multiple impact plays as well. What were some of your big takeaways from his NFL debut?
Well, after watching the defensive line play the first two games without him, the one thing that struck me was how athletic he is for a big man. That guy could really move for being his size, and they were really missing that, you know, the first couple of weeks. You know, Cam had that early in his career, but really, you know, Cam was always like a power guy too. Like, Harmon has both. Harmon uses his hands well, but he's really quick off the ball. He can make stuff happen by, you know, getting some penetration there. So, you know, good to see that the defensive line sorely needed him. And I think we saw what they were missing. I think, you know, you should probably see that snap count go up to what, you know, 50% to probably 65-70% this week. And I'm sure he's going to be out there in the starting lineup too.
I do see the comparisons to Hayward now that we have seen them both on the field at the same time, like a young Cam, which is what a lot of people kind of compared him to. You can definitely see it in Harmon's game.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, that's when they drafted him, you know, that was the talk, you know, a guy who can come in, learn behind Cam Hayward. Cam can show it, him how it's done. And the great thing for Harmon is he doesn't have to wait 2 years to play. You know, Cam was talking about that this week, drafted in 2011. He was still a reserve 4 games into the 2013 season, Donnie. So think about that. Think about how first-round picks are treated today. It took him, you know, 2.25 seasons to finally break into the starting lineup. And the only reason he did, not the only reason, but one of the reasons he did, was they were 0-4 and they needed a spark, you know, and they were going to make some changes. So it's so different. And I know that team was stacked and, you know, they had all kinds of talent on the defensive line, but Harmon's going to get a chance to play early. He's going to have a chance to establish himself. And if he stays healthy, he's going to have, you know, a long and healthy career here in Pittsburgh.
Do you think we see more Daniel Equale in this game? He's starting to chip away at that snap count of Keanu Benton.
Yeah. You know, it's going to depend week to week. Austin was saying that yesterday, both with the inside linebacker situation and I think with nose guard. You know, Minnesota's maybe a little bit different from the Patriots. I think the Patriots probably wanted to establish the run more, and I think that's why you saw, you know, Holcomb as much as you did, and Equale played, I think, 17 snaps. So it's going to be like a week-to-week thing here. But I think Equale came in and gave them, you know, what they needed. He made 3 tackles. He was active. He's a veteran, too, so he knows what's going on, you know, on the interior of the offensive line there. So, yeah, I think as long as you're playing a team that wants to run the ball, and I'm not sure the Vikings fit that mold, certainly not like the Patriots did, but as the season goes on, yeah, I think you'll start to see, if not a timeshare, certainly Equale cutting into Benton snaps when they play these good running teams.
And are they still pretty happy with Y.A. Black in the early going?
Yeah, I mean, listen, he's a fifth-round pick. He's learning on the job. He's been solid, you know, nothing special the first couple of weeks. I think we saw him flash in the preseason. I think we'd like to see him get back to maybe what he was doing there, but it takes time. You know, all these guys, it takes time to get, you know, familiar with what the coaches are asking and with, you know, week to week what these teams are trying to do against you. So he's still at 4-eye technique. They're not going to move him to nose anytime soon. So he's going to be in a backup role now that Derek Harmon is back.
Going into the Patriots game, one of the guys I wanted to see more of was Cole Holcomb. Not only did we get that, he started the game, and that move immediately paid dividends. I'm guessing we can expect that again this week?
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, Austin's words yesterday was he deserved it. And he's been working really hard to come back from that knee injury, but it's not enough just to work hard. He's gotten back to the point where he can still be a really good NFL player. So, you know, the first week was good. Now he's got to sustain it. You know, he's got to be able to do that week to week. And, you know, it's funny. We've asked Cole several times, like, exactly what was the injury? You know, what was going on there? We know it was every major ligament in the knee, but, you know, who was the guy for the Cowboys a couple of years ago, the high pick who never really got back? Smith. Yeah.
Jalen Smith,
right? Yeah. So, like, he never got back to being the player he was before the injury. It's early, but he's moving well. He played well in that first game against the Patriots. I don't know that he's ever going to be a full-time starter again, but it's good to see him back and contributing and, you know, being a reason why they won that game last week.
Alex Highsmith did not travel with the team. He will not play in Dublin on Sunday. Nick Herbig, though, he got after Drake May a little bit. He had a really good showing. We're going to see a lot of him. How much of Jack Sawyer and or DeMarvin Leal do we see behind the two starters?
Yeah, I thought both those guys were good in reserve roles, so I don't think there's going to be any hesitance on the part of the coaches to give them 10 or 15 snaps apiece. You know, obviously, you want your two best pass rushers in there at all times, but the nice thing about Leal and Sawyer is they could both set the edge in the running game. They're both bigger outside linebackers, both bigger and different body types than T.J. Watt and Nick Herbig. So, yeah, I think they'll be fine. You could put them out there for a limited number of snaps, and I don't think you're going to see much drop off there. So T.J. got on track last week. That was good to see. And, you know, every time Herbig plays or starts, I should say, it seems like he has a big game too. So I guess we shouldn't be surprised by it at this point.
It is 11:21. Time to make that call to the Buell Insurance Agency. Get help with those premiums at 724-443-5610. Along with that, Ray, I know that Alex Highsmith signed an extension here a couple of off seasons ago, but should he be watching his back a little bit for how well Nick Herbig is able to play, certainly in pass rush situations?
Yeah, I mean, that's something that's definitely going to be discussed in the offseason. Herbig is going to be up for a contract. He's going to be going into his fourth and final season in 2026. Now, Highsmith is signed through 27. So, you know, if you really do view Nick Herbig as a starter, and I think a lot of teams in the NFL would, so it'll be interesting to see what the Steelers think, you know, next summer. But if you really think he's going to be a starter, they're going to have to pay him, and then they would have to make a decision, you know, on Highsmith. And, you know, to walk away from Highsmith, to cut him with 2 years left, you'd be taking a little bit of a hit cap-wise. But, listen, if Herbig is the better player, if he's the player who's a little bit more available, you know, due to injuries, maybe you bite the bullet there. But it's still pretty early. Highsmith is a very talented player. He's a good, well-rounded outside linebacker. But, yeah, it's never too early to, you know, discuss that kind of stuff. And I think that's going to be one of the major topics of the offseason.
Talking to Steelers beat writer Ray Fittipaldo from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette here on 93.7 The Fan. Ray, at what point will the Steelers activate a third quarterback? What's the latest with Will Howard?
Well, he's still not practicing because he's still on IR, so they're going to have to open up his window at some point to bring him back to the active roster, and they're going to have to do the same thing with Skylar Thompson at some point as well. So right now Logan Woodside is the number three quarterback, but he's only on the practice squad, so I don't get the sense that they're really in a big hurry to do anything. You know, you got Mason, you know, who's obviously a good backup. And then if there's an injury, they would have to, you know, make a call on one of those guys. But I wouldn't be surprised at all, again, if Will Howard is redshirted and then Skylar Thompson comes back when he's healthy or when they need him.
Big Ben said the other day on his footballing podcast that James Harrison would have 15 sacks against Broderick Jones. Maybe not quite that high. I think it would be double the all-time record. But Do you kind of see where Ben is coming from there? Do you think that Jones is just not cutting it so far at left tackle?
Yeah, I mean, like, fans will look at it. Well, they didn't give up any sacks against the Patriots. Everyone played well. But, like, when you go back and watch it, that's not really the case. And, you know, Faletonu has maybe two or three bad reps a game where he gives up some pressure. But honestly, Donnie, like, his tape is like clinic tape compared to Broderick Jones. He's not – like, Faletonu isn't there yet. But you can just see the technique and the way he moves that he's going to be an elite offensive lineman in this league. He's got to clean up a few reps here and there every week. With Broderick, it's like not every other play, but it's like every three or four plays he's giving up a pressure or he's not doing the right thing. So that's really frustrating to watch, especially for a guy with his size and his athleticism to see him not get better, right? Not develop. I'm sure that's a concern inside the building too. So I hear a lot about Faletonu, and like it's almost like people want to apologize, you know, for Broderick Jones. But really, if you sit down and watch it, Faletonu is heads and shoulders above where Broderick Jones is right now. And they got to get that figured out. That's one of the decisions I think they're going to have to make during the bye week. If he doesn't improve, they're going to have to make a move there.
Now, does that fall on Pat Meyer or the Steelers' brain trust as a whole for, you know, how Jones has been handled for the three seasons he's been here?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, the front office picks them, and then they ask Coach Tomlin and his assistants to develop them. So it was Tomlin's call to move him to the right side. I'm sure there were discussions, and I'm sure the front office was understanding of that situation with Dan Moore. But now you're in year three. He's back on the side where he's supposed to be comfortable, and we're not seeing a lot of progress or development there. So, yeah, on some levels, I'm not inside those scouting meetings, but there's probably got to be some frustration at the rate at which he's developing. And, you know, for the front office, now they draft him. Now 3 years later, Donnie, they got to make a call by next May, next April or May. Do they pick up the option or not? And obviously, it's not a good thing when your first-round pick doesn't get the option picked up, but I think that's going to be a decision that they're facing here in about 6 or 8 months.
Ray, if you are free on Sunday morning, you can feel free to join Mark Cabali and myself at Shiloh Plate and Pour in Mount Washington. We're doing a fan game day live and in person. We could have three guys that really love offensive line play sitting on the same bench, sitting in the same booth, talking about this game. I just want to put the invitation out there to you.
We could really break it down, huh?
We could, and Cabali would love it. He's going to love every second of it because you know that he's a guy that is never in the feeling of inconvenience, Mark Cabali.
That is not true. But, yeah, send me the Addy, and we'll see what we can do.
Oh, send me the Addy. How about that, Austin?
Hammer Don Cabali.
Send the Addy, Donnie.
Ray using some new lingo. Ray, how do you think this game goes? Do the Steelers win in Dublin?
No, I got the Vikings winning 27-16, and you know, I think the Steelers are going to get better, but I think it's going to take the bye week for them to get some of the stuff straightened out.
Ray Fittipaldo covers the Steelers for the Post Gazette. Ray, thank you. I do not have any free association for you today.
We'll have to wait till next week.
There he goes, Ray Fittipaldo, the great one from the PG.
There's Steelers fans coming out the wazoo. Right now we're in a coastal town called Dalkey, not too far from Dublin. It was about a 25-minute train ride. And the city of Dublin itself is just head-to-toe, wall-to-wall, Steelers, Vikings, NFL stuff. And let me tell you guys something. The number of Steelers fans dwarfs the number of Vikings fans. At least, what is it, Thursday? I mean,
really?
Through this point in the week, there are so many Steelers fans here. And we've seen Vikings fans, like, interspersed, but it's definitely looking like it's going to be a Steelers home game on Sunday.
What's your vibe? Now, you got the vibe of the atmosphere and the people, and you're having a good time, and you'll have a good time tomorrow as well, maybe watch some college football games. But what's your vibe right now on the Steelers winning the football game? What's the vibe around whenever you're talking to Steelers fans there about the Steelers' chances of beating the Minnesota Vikings on Sunday?
It's funny because whenever I left on Wednesday, I said, yeah, I think the Vikings are going to win like 28-17 or something. I'm all for the vibe now, baby. The Steelers are winning this ball game. You're going to have like 65,000 Steelers fans there. And why would you come all this way, Aaron Rodgers, if you're not going to win this football game? I do think Steelers fans are pretty optimistic. The Vikings fans that we've talked to don't really know what to expect out of Carson Wentz. They didn't really think he did all that much last week, and he didn't need to. He might not need to in this game, but the vibe over here is people are drunk off of Guinness, and they're drunk on their Pittsburgh Steelers, and it's kind of, it's like a bowl game kind of atmosphere, you know, where like, yeah, there's a ton of fans of the opposing team, but then there's a bunch of your guys around, and it's a destination. It's been super cool. And in our hotel, how about this? Jerome Bettis, Mark Bruner, talked to Mark Bruner for a little while. I mean, he's coming out here to see his son play, which is nuts because he played in 1997 when the Steelers played that preseason game in Dublin. And then Ike Taylor, James Ferrier, they're all up in the same hotel as us.
Nice.
And Bompiani,
oh,
who's
nice,
the biggest star out of all of them.
Nice, nice. So take me through the flight experience. Like, how did your flight go? Did you sleep? Did you watch a movie? Did you have any beverages? Did you talk to people? What was your flight experience like, and was your anxieties through the roof?
The anxiety wasn't too bad because I had a couple of Jamesons before the first flight.
Yep, yep.
And then, I mean, I followed the door advice. He said, don't go with the beer, go with the liquor, because you don't want to get up and pee the whole time, but you want to take the edge off. I took the edge off. The flight to Chicago felt like it lasted 7 seconds. And then the flight overseas was a long one, but I wound up actually falling asleep listening to some 93.7 The Fan podcast. Not that the station put me to sleep, but that's how I was entertaining myself. And then I watched A New Hope.
Oh, nice. Good. Well, I'm glad that you had a good experience, man. Like, you know, we were worried about you back here, and we didn't think that you were going to make it mentally. But it seems like you're in good spirits. One last question for you. If Broderick Jones, if he has a bad game, do you think the Steelers will bench him and put somebody else in at left tackle outside of the bye week?
That's a great question, man, because this is sort of after game one. I remember we were talking that this would be the time. Like, if he continues to struggle right before the bye week, like you get 2 weeks to prepare somebody else, maybe that's when you do it. And I would have thought that they wouldn't do it. But the more I think about it, I mean, if he goes out and he plays terribly against what is a great Vikings front and a tremendous scheme, if he plays poorly, why? They've already made a couple of changes. I mean, Cole Holcomb played instead of Wilson. I'm not drunk now, I promise. I'm just as windy as hell. It's too early to drink already. So they've made changes like that already. So if your 41-year-old quarterback's taking hits routinely, you got to do what you can to keep that guy upright. If he has a bad game, yeah, I think you do it, man.
I agree. They have Andrus Peat. They have Calvin Anderson. They have some other players that maybe could serve for that opportunity to take over that left tackle spot. All right, Crowley, get back to the festivities. Have fun. Listen to this show, the Pomp and Joe Show, every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. Contest run every Wednesday through Friday at 12 noon at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. Donnie Football in for Pomp and Joe. Austin Bechtold, our buddy City Limits, is behind the glass. Austin, that's another place that I need to get out to, the Baseball Card Castle.
I've been there plenty of times.
I see the general.
Great man. Great place. Seriously, cannot say enough good things about just who the general is and the empire that he's built up. You see, he obviously has a partnership with us. You could see him on the Pirate broadcast, too. Like, the play of the game is brought to you by Baseball Card Castle. So The general is a wonderful man, and you should go up and visit him.
Yeah, I mean, it might have to wait. I'd be, like, very overstimulated if I went in there. I mean,
yeah, it's overwhelming sometimes.
Yeah, it'd be cool. I would love it. I might have to wait on purchasing things, I think, until I get down the road and, like, have a house and hopefully have a man cave. I have way too much stuff as is. Like,
hopefully have a man cave. You're definitely going to have a man cave.
It's going to be a requirement.
Yeah.
I need to have some sort of basement to work with. It doesn't have to be finished. It could be, you know, it could be a basement that just, like, has, like, regular, like, cement floor. Throw a couch down there. If I can put stuff on the walls and put up a TV, I'm good to go. But I just have too much stuff already that I don't have up because I get pushed to the garage for all of my sports belongings. So,
You got to see the picture that I just sent you of the basement that has basically taken 5 years for me to be able to put together. It's still sending right now, but between the jerseys that I have and a nice little Clemente sign that I have of baseball cards and a little sign of PNC Park, and we have some lighting over top of it as well.
Is this the Ray Bechtold man cave?
This is the Austin Bechtold man cave at Ray Bechtold's house.
Oh,
but
this is nice.
This is my man cave of my creation of jerseys that I have collected and pictures that I have bought over the years and stuff like that. It's pretty sweet.
I only have one weird complaint. You might be able to guess what it is. I love all the stuff and all of the jerseys.
Yeah.
I have a weird thing where it like bugs me. It makes me twitch a little bit when I see a jersey of a player that like never wore that jersey. It's like the Mazeroski one you have.
Yes.
That's like more of a newer era Pirates jersey. I know
Correct.
He's worn that in like, you know, like the reunion things. But like when you see, like when I see a Joe Green Steelers jersey and it has like the numbers and everything, like it's a jersey that you would see today, it kind of like bugs me out.
No, I understand that. Like it does look like an older style jersey, but it does have that newer age flair to it.
Yeah. I mean,
it's a great jersey.
Right.
Shout out my guy, Don.
And a great
jersey.
Great player. Mazeroski was.
That was one that I've always wanted in my basement. I always wanted was Maz.
Oh, I mean, he is the single, I guess we can't say over Franco, but it's right up there. I mean, it won the Pirates a championship, though, so I feel like I'm going with the Maz home run over the Immaculate Reception. But, man, I mean, they're two of the greatest plays in sports history.
Troy is next for me. Troy is the next jersey that I want to be able to get. I'd love to meet Troy. I never had the opportunity to. That's like a bucket list item for me.
I get, like, chills when somebody will post his Hall of Fame speech.
Oh, yeah.
So good. 50-minute mark on the Fan. That's brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram on Route 19 in Peters Township. Let's take some calls. Your feeling on the Steelers and Vikings this Sunday. Not just any other game. The Steelers are playing this one in Dublin. What are your thoughts on it? 412-928-9370. Eric is on the Fan. What's going on, Eric?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Hey, to me, this game has Super Bowl vibes written all over it. One caller called in and predicts a blowout. Unfortunately, I kind of agree with him. And with all the emphasis on what this game means to the Rooneys and the family, and the Steelers do lose by a lot, what is that going to finally put Tomlin on the hot seat, or what's it finally going to take for change? Thank you.
So, Eric, that is a good question. Because it is a game that seems to have more emphasis for the Steelers, but when you just consider the career that Mike Tomlin has had here, I'm still under the belief that really nothing will put the guy on the hot seat. But I like the question because it's not quite a, you know, it's not a playoff game, it's not the Super Bowl, but it does feel like the Steelers have more of a care about this game in particular than another regular season game. Unless, you know, it would be like a must-win regular season game later in the season. But I would bet that if they could either pick, and I think the guys had Jason Mackey answer this yesterday,
if the Steelers had the choice, if they said you could sweep the Baltimore Ravens this year, but you lose in Ireland by 2 touchdowns, or you lose both games to Baltimore and possibly embarrassed in both games, but you simply win the game in Dublin, they would pick the Dublin win. Now, that's just a guy that writes for the Post-Gazette guessing on that, but I don't think he's actually far off. I don't think our guy 93.7 the Mackey is far off there. I think this game is being held in very high regard by the Rooney family. 412-928-9370. This guy loves us on Twitter, Austin. He loves us in the YouTube chat with some of our other favorites, our buddy Johnny and Farrell. What's going on, Johnny?
Hey, bro. Never actually talked to you, so I wanted to run it by you. You already know what I'm going to say, but what do you think about us permanently going to the no huddle, especially for this game?
Oh, I mean, I love when a team goes into a more of a high-tempo offense. It's difficult to do for an entire game. Like, it's a lot easier put into, you know, like, saying that more than it is put into practice, I feel, Johnny.
Well, here's the thing, though. When we used to run it with Ben, when we had these same problems with the offensive line, it worked. And then it worked the last game. We did it on the first drive, and the linemen, remember they were waving in at the sideline, let's get the play, let's go, let's go. They want to run it. It works. The thing is, it's predicated on having a general as a quarterback. I think we have one of the best ones, right? So yeah. It'll work, man. It worked last week. It worked every time. Look, we're not winning the Super Bowls in 05-08 if we're not running the no huddle when our line was, you know, just average to good. Ben never had great lines, maybe one or two, but it worked. And I'm telling you, it worked the other last week, and it'll work now. And we have the team for it. And I just, it might be Arthur is being too stubborn and he wants to show that his offense works, but just go to it, bro. You look like a hero.
Yeah, Johnny. I mean, I appreciate the call there. I you bring up a good point because it does. We usually do see it work. It is tough to sustain that, though, for an entire game where the offense is just moving nonstop. I love the idea of mixing it in. Don't just make it a situational use. Like, oh, we have to be in the 2-minute offense here. It's almost halftime. Or we have to be in the 2-minute offense here. We are trying to drive and either tie the game, win the game, whatever. You know, middle of the second quarter, bring it out. Middle of the first quarter. Hell, on the first drive. Catch the opposing defense, you know, back on its heels a little bit. I love when teams mix it in throughout a game. It's just hard to do that for every single possession. But I do feel as if the Steelers kind of have the makings of a team that could run it well, because it does all start with the quarterback who can make a quick decision and make a very quick throw. And they certainly have that in Aaron Rodgers. 412-928-9370. Charles is in Freeport. What's up, Charles?
Hey, yeah, I just want to talk about Steelers football, and I think they are going to win the game in Ireland.
What do you think the score is going to be?
Like, we'll say 35-14.
A blowout win?
Yes.
Oh, there we go, Charles. I appreciate the call. How about that optimism, baby? 35-14. That would have us all feeling high coming in on Monday.
Well, we know Mike Tomlin loves one-score games, so anything other than that would be a stunner.
412-928-9370. Our guy Emmanuel in Carnegie. What's going on, man?
Hey, man. How you doing?
Good. What do you got?
Hey, man. It's funny because you say you have FOMO. I have phobia. I'm afraid of being on planes, especially anything longer than 3 hours. So I do want to be there, but then again, I'm thinking about the 7-hour plane flight, and I don't know. I have to conquer that phobia because I'm missing out on a lot of stuff. As it regards to the game, I had us going 11-6, going to the playoffs and winning the playoff game, but the Vikings is the one game I wrote down as a loss. Mike Tomlin, Thursday night games, Wednesday night games, 3 games in 15 days. he's not really good at getting the teams like really prepared. It's especially like on orthodox situations like this one. I think we're going to get off to a slow start. We're going to be sleeping through the first half. Like the last two of the last three callers, I think we're going to get blown out. But just regarding the first half, I think we're going to come back, make it interesting in the second half. But I got us losing 34-27. It's going to be a great game, though.
So I appreciate the call, Emmanuel. So that sounds a lot like what happened the last couple of times they've played. Like take that 2017 game out of the equation. The Steelers actually winning that one in blowout fashion, sort of. I think 27-9 was the final score. They had that game well in hand from the word go. But two of the games I referenced last segment, that London game against the Vikings back in 2013, the last time the Steelers played on international soil, and then the game in Minnesota on Thursday Night Football back in 2021. That's how both of those games went. They fell behind early, and they fell behind by a lot. It looked like a playoff game. They were going into the halftime break down by two scores. And it was, at some point, a three-score game. They were down 17, I believe, in London. They were down 29 in Minnesota the last time they played. And they came battling back. They made it look a whole lot closer than what the final score was. So I think that one could be pretty accurate. Because I am hesitant thinking that, hey, the Steelers are putting this game with a lot of emphasis. They're going to come out firing. As much as I want to believe that will happen, look at what has happened in the playoffs when they should have been feeling that same way. When they should have been the team, hey, we got nothing to lose. We're a huge underdog in the playoffs. They come out, they get destroyed. They are down three scores at halftime. They try to make it look a little bit closer than what it is. They had a couple of cosmetic touchdowns, and that's where we are.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get a motion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam, so you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved, home protected, bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Chris Carter's on the fan hotline. He's in Ireland. Chris, good morning. How are you? How are things going?
I'm all right, Doran. How you doing back in Pittsburgh?
We're doing pretty good. It's a little foggy out. It's a little rainy. It's a little nasty, but the weather's going to clear up maybe for the weekend for the Pitt game, so I'm happy about that. What's the atmosphere like there? What's the vibe like? You know, we've talked to Jason Mackey. We've talked to Adam Crowley already, and they've talked about the vibe and the experience. What's your experience been like there in Ireland? How many black people have you run into? Any?
Quite a few, actually. I'm actually staying with some black people. My friend Sarah and Barry, Sarah, a local Pittsburgher, was so gracious to host me and my wife. So we're having a good time with them. But we've been bumping into a few black people. They out and about here in Ireland. But it's been a cool scene, man. Like we were bouncing around proper Dublin, and you know, seeing some of that. We went to the Steelers bar, the Temple bar. What I didn't realize is they said, oh, it's the Fitzsimmons Temple bar, and I was like, oh, there's probably just one Temple bar. There's like 2,000 Temple bars.
Oh, wow.
So you had to like actually find the right one, which is the Fitzsimmons one. But it's been really cool. We got a chance to I did the whole Guinness storehouse experience. Got to pour a perfect glass of Guinness, you know, in the academy there. I got to experience that with some of our friends in the sports media department: Brooke Pryor, Jenna Harner, Mike DeFable. So it's been a good time. We got to do that and bounce around. And today we're looking to see more of the scenic things today.
What's your vibe around the actual game? We've got the vibe of you know, the atmosphere and the people, but the actual game, you know, and me personally, I'm so different from when Monday to Thursday to Friday to Saturday and even game day, I change so much. I go up and down of like how I'm feeling. How are you feeling right now of the Steelers' chances of winning this football game against the Vikings on Sunday?
I think it's a bit 50-50 right now, particularly because the Vikings are experienced in the trenches the way that the Steelers want to be experienced in the trenches in a few years. You look at Brian O'Neill, you look at Christian Darrisaw, you even look on the defensive side, you see Javon Hargrave, Jonathan Allen. They have guys that are seasoned in the trenches, and that's a big part of why they win. Plus, they have really good playmakers: Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison's back this week, Jordan Mason, you saw what he did last week, TJ Hockenson, you know how dangerous of a tight end he is. And the thing that I think the Steelers can hang their hat on if they do it well is if they can turn around their third down defense. They're ranked right now 29th in the NFL in third down defense and allowing teams to convert. But the Vikings offense ranks 28th in third down offense. If they're able to basically get the Vikings, and they were pretty bad on third down last week against the Bengals. Like, the Bengals defense is the one defense you should be just getting all over the place. But I think that's where, if the Steelers defense can turn that around this week, get their third down defense together, that could be the key that helps them control the pace of this game. And if they get a couple turnovers and they limit the big play opportunities for the Vikings playmakers, they can keep this game in their control.
Yeah, when talking to Jason Mackey earlier, I asked him about Deshaun Elliott and his chances and his feeling around him playing on Sunday. He doesn't have a good feeling about it. He doesn't think that it's necessary for him to play. And he basically said that he believes he's not going to play. What's your feeling around Deshaun Elliott playing? And if he does, do you think that fixes the communication issues that have been hampering on the Steelers defense?
I'm not sure it fixes it right away. I think part of what people need to understand with the Steelers quote-unquote communication issues right now is that this is a different defense. And I talked about that earlier this week on Locked On Steelers, but like, this defense is blitzing from so many new angles. They're sending heat in so many different ways. They're moving T.J. Watt around. They're trying to, and they're doing this to try to free up T.J. Watt. And in doing that, they have to properly mix the right coverages with those blitzes in the ways that work with the veterans that they've added to the roster. You know, there's certain ways that Darius Slay or Jalen Ramsey are used to covering in situations that they're like, hey, in this situation, we need you to cover this way. So there's been a lot of trial and error so far, and I think that's been the quote-unquote communication issue. So having one guy back won't just fix the problem. It's more so about they need to continue to try the things that are going to make them tighter on defense, because now you're starting to see that their pass rush is getting home. They had 5 sacks last week. If they can keep up that pass rush, get after the Carson Wentz this week, and you know, Carson Wentz against the blitz wasn't, you know, didn't look too great when they actually got pressure on him. I think that could be their ticket to sort of figuring out some of their communication issues. But they have to take away the initial reads on the back end, because I think that's what happened against the Seahawks a lot, was Sam Darnold would get pressure, but some guy would kind of back off his man a little bit because he thought he was supposed to play off coverage, and that allowed him a quick exit. Or, you know, one guy played trail technique instead of just playing straight up man, where he takes away the inside leverage, and that allowed a guy to get open real quick. And so I think that that's the chemistry that they're still figuring out right now, and that's where the quote-unquote communication things are going to happen. I don't know if Deshaun Elliott will play. I think that we'll see later today if he practices in full in Ireland, then that'll be a good sign. If he's limited, I would expect them to probably sit him out, because he's a really good player, and they know once he's healthy, he's going to be a big-time contributor. So him and Joey Porter Jr., let's just see how they practice today. And if they're full participants, expect them to be on the field. If they're not, maybe the Steelers say, hey, let's just get you right after the bye, and let's try to win with the guys that we've been working with the last three weeks.
Chris, what's up, man? Bostic, better late than never,
yeah,
right?
Of course.
Better late than never. It's foggy out there.
It is
foggy out there this morning. It took an extra like 8 minutes to get here. Vikings giving up $130 a game on the ground. How many touches did Jaylen Warren get in this game?
Touches or rushes?
How about both? Rushes, okay. And then total touches.
Let's go 16 rushes, 21 touches.
I think that's where he has to be.
Yep.
I think that's where he has to be.
I think they're still going to work the ball Kenneth Gainwell at times because of his ability to kind of like use his speed and work in space. But this would be a good week to get Jaylen Warren going. He brought up the Vikings defense. I think that's a good thing. I also think the key this week might be getting the tight ends involved.
I was just about to ask you about that.
They are small. They are – and they're good. Like, they're talented. I like a lot of the guys in their secondary. But – this would be a week for, especially when you start to get on the plus side territory and you're getting closer to the red zone, man, put Darnell Washington up against Isaiah Rodgers. I know that Isaiah Rodgers had the perfect PFF grade last week. And listen, he was a monster. He had two touchdowns on the defensive side, three forced turnovers. But ask him to do that to 6'7" Darnell Washington. Ask Pat Freiermuth to go up against some of their other guys. You know, put DK Metcalf. They don't have a corner that can stick DK Metcalf, I think, physically. I think they can run with him. But – use your size to your advantage. I think that's the key for the offense this week against the Vikings.
So the low production of the tight ends, and whenever you're doing your analysis, you're breaking down the film, what are you seeing of the reason for the low production? Is it that they're not getting open? Is it they're not getting into the proper routes? Is it because they have to stay in and chip block and help the offensive line? You know, what is it? Or is it they're just not running out 13 personnel or 12 personnel as much as we thought that they were? Why do you think the production's so low for that group, a group that we thought was going to have high production in the beginning of the year?
Oh, no, I think they're running plenty of 12 or 13 personnel. They're definitely putting them out there. But they are chip blocking a lot. They are doing that. I think part of it is just because of what the Steelers are trying to do right now with passing the ball. They recognize that the offensive line's still young, still figuring it out. Like Troy Faltan, who I think will end up being very good, he honestly has had been on more of the struggle bus the last couple games than Broderick Jones. And I think when they're looking at that, they're saying, hey, let's not get Aaron killed. Let's call play action, hit Jaylen out of the backfield. Let's do a quick slant. Let's do a pop pass. And those things aren't, you know, going to lend itself to more tight end passes. But I think as the offensive line goes, if they can improve, that's when you'll see the tight ends get more of a chance to kind of run their seam, run a seam right up the middle. And if there's a zone, Aaron Rodgers hits them behind it and they attack there. But I think it's been more circumstantial. I think the tight ends, they absolutely want to get involved. And you know, like they tried, like, you know, Pat Freiermuth, he was kind of working on a scramble drill, and Aaron Rodgers needed him to sit in space rather than run to a defender. And I think he just, you did the wrong thing in that moment. And like those things that happen, they'll clean those things up, I think. But I think that's been the key right now, is it's more circumstantial to all the other things they're trying to do in the offense that haven't allowed them to really expand upon the tight end usage so far. But I do think that'll change probably in a couple weeks or so.
Chris, you guys have asked a lot about Cole Holcomb and the linebacker balance. What's your evaluation of that position right now and kind of the division of labor there?
I can see Cole Holcomb getting another start this week and getting more prominent, because they need to stop Jordan Mason. They cannot allow this Vikings offense to run the ball. They got to make Carson Wentz be one-dimensional. And because Carson Wentz, you know, he may be Carson Wentz and he may not be you know, a superstar quarterback like he was in his prime day was with the Eagles. But he has some playmakers, man. Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, T.J. Hockenson. You cannot be in a guessing game with those guys. So I think they put an emphasis to stop them. So Cole Holcomb, that's where he's good there. Peyton Wilson, I think, is still figuring out all the extra things. Like, we talked to him about the second touchdown that they allowed to the Patriots, right? And he pointed out that, like, yeah, we were trying to show that we were in zone, but we were really in man. And then when we dropped back, there were some misunderstandings about what we were supposed to actually be in. And basically, I think he was supposed to run with the tight end, and he thought he was supposed to play a specific spot instead of playing that guy. And so those are the type of things that, like, they're more aggressive with their disguises this year behind those blitzes, because they were trying to send heat, but they're also trying to show one coverage while actually being in another coverage. And those are the things that sometimes, you know, guys mix up, but they need to clear that up. So I think that those guys will rotate a bit today. Cole Holcomb on the early downs, Peyton Wilson maybe on the later downs, if it's like third and long. But I also think Patrick Queen, I know a lot of people in Pittsburgh tweet about how mad they are at him for this, that, and the third. I think he's actually been doing as much as he can to hold the defense together in the middle. He gets in the backfield. The only time you see him not really being involved is when linemen are climbing up to him and hitting him within the first 2 seconds of the play. And that's not his expertise. You don't want Patrick Queen getting hit by centers and guards right away. You want him clean. You want him, you know, scouring. You want him looking through the play and attacking downhill. And when he does that, he's been dangerous. And so, you know, he's had tackles for losses. He's led the team in tackles, you know, a few times this year. And I think that that's where you'll see him be. So I think Patrick Queen, as long as he's kept clean this week, will be fine. But Peyton Wilson, can he be better on passing downs? Cole Holcomb, can he lead the charge on rundowns? I think that'll be how the linebacker rotation goes.
Chris, you're the man. We appreciate you. We'll talk to you next week. Have a good time in Ireland.
Thanks, fellas.
We'll see you.
Thanks, Chris.
There he goes. Chris Carter of the Post-Gazette. He is the man.
Does this feel like more than just a regular season game? Because the players are definitely sounding that way. Tomlin made it sound that way when he was talking about, you know, the Ambassador Rooney and the lifelong dream of him and the family to have a regular season game played over there, and for it to be the first game ever played in Ireland, regular season game, because the Steelers have played exhibitions over there. But for the first real game to take place there, the Steelers are in it. And I've said for months, I really truly believe this. And people outside listening right now who are maybe fighting the same traffic I did that are in ornery mood might disagree with this to some extent. I really think it's the game the Steelers want to win this year. I think if they win this game in Ireland, I think Art and I think probably his son Dan would rank this as one of the best Steelers wins ever. Just because of the unique set of circumstances here.
How much do sentimental wins count versus like the ones that maybe win you something tangible in terms of the standings, like separating those two? Because, I mean, it's very much a sentiment win.
No doubt. I mean, would you not say, even though it didn't?
Let me ask you this. Actually, I have a way to talk about two games that both had stakes, but one had, I think, a much more sentimental storyline.
Right.
What Super Bowl is more meaningful to a lot of Steelers fans, 40 or 43? One is Jerome's last ride in his hometown, and the other one is, admittedly, an all-time great fourth quarter and ending.
Yeah, that's a tough one to choose from.
But that's what I'm trying to get to here.
I know what you're saying. Well, I'll just put it this way, to flip it on you, to answer a question with a question. If they had to rank all-time Steelers wins that they've been a part of, Art Rooney, too, as owner, do you think winning in Ireland in his grandfather and father's old country against the Vikings would mean more than, I don't know, when they beat the Dolphins in the wild card game in Pittsburgh back in 2016?
Would it mean more to me, or would it mean more
to them?
To them?
To them, I'm talking about.
Cool.
A random wild card game that didn't end in a season. Where
do you know why it would mean more to win this one? Because when they won that wild card game back then, they probably had no idea as an organization that they would win another. They'd win one more, and that was it.
So what I'm trying to explain to people is this situation where I think for the organization itself, this is likely to be the biggest game they play all year. But I don't think that's necessarily true for fans, unless you're A, going to this game, or B, you're so into your own Irish pride, or you like revere the Rooney family so much that it means a lot to you as a fan that they as a family would get to celebrate a win in this situation. All wins are not created equally. They are in the standings, although that's not even true because of tiebreakers and the division games mean a lot more. But this just, the way that they're, they could have taken if they wanted to. They could have said Mike Tomlin and Cam Hayward, this is just another game. This is a business trip. We're going to Ireland to win. Nothing different. But they are playing to the sentimental part of this and the emotional and like the win one for the Gipper aspect of this game. Like they're treating it like a personal Super Bowl, Chris.
Well, that also could be a motivational tactic right now just to make sure you get the absolute best out of a team because they probably know it's a pivotal game in a very tangible sense for this season. You win and you're 3-1, even if there are people like me saying, man, how much have you really done? How good really are you? Which is a conversation we've had many years in recent times about the Steelers when they've
I mean, does them winning a game in Ireland mean anything to you?
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't.
No. I mean, I think it's cool that they're playing there, and I can, I'm trying to like put myself in, let's say, Danny, you know, younger Dan Rooney's shoes, Danny Rooney's shoes. He's a couple years younger than me. Like, I imagine that has a lot of, like, sentimental value to him, even maybe more than it does in a weird way.
I could see them crying. I think if they win and Tomlin gives Art Rooney a game ball afterwards in a locker room in Ireland, I think he'd cry. And he doesn't strike me as he's a pretty stoic guy, but he's going to think about his dad and his grandfather and their roots over there.
I think the thing that would be telling is how much you could decipher it meant to, like, it means to Mike. Like, because, you know, Dan Rooney's the guy who hires him, who gives him his big break, who backs him. He has and runs the franchise at that point and sets the culture that makes it so that Mike Tomlin has probably the safest job in professional sports.
Yep.
I'd love to know how much Mike, like, this means to him.
I would say
of the family
a ton.
Members.
I would say an absolute ton. Everybody wants to make their bosses happy. He knows how much this game means to his boss. Bosses.
But I think I think when he thinks about Dan Rooney, it's probably like the late Dan Rooney. It's more, but it's more than I want to do this for my late boss. I bet you he doesn't think of him as a boss so much as
a friend or a mentor,
almost like a family, like an elder family member.
Absolutely.
So I would love to know that part of it. And you know what? Not that you'll be able to tell on game day. Like they're not going to hide stuff like a team would in college football against an FCS team or empty the playbook.
Yes.
But I think
they will.
Well, I do think you'll get a sense for how Mike coaches the game if he feels like it's the most important win to get of the season, right?
Right.
Like in the Super Bowl, hypothetically, would be that for any other team or a playoff game where it's single limb.
Yep.
Then I think you'd see him coach ultra aggressively here to try to win the game at all costs.
Like if you think about their last trip there, they lollygagged. They were sleepwalking. They lost to Minnesota in London.
It was a very desultory effort.
Yes, and they were 0-3, and they were desperate, and they still looked like they were sleep-deprived and lethargic and all those things, and that's where all the questions this week about the timing of going over there have come back into play, because even though it's 12 years later, Steelers fans have long memories and remember that. Because of what we're talking about here, the emotional tie-in to this game being played there, it is very difficult for me to picture them coming out of this game flat, right? I mean,
so I think you're going to get like the rare Mike Tomlin Steelers team comes out flying in the first
quarter.
Don't
you think? I mean, it's rumored. I don't know if this is rumored or reporting, if someone has actually printed this, but at least it's been rumored that Art talked to the team this week about how important this game is to his family. When else does he do that? Did he go in before the Baltimore game and say, all right, guys, you know, we haven't won a playoff game since 2000. Like, I can't.
You think I would kill to have been a fly on the wall if that actually happened.
I don't think it was a fire and brimstone speech so much. I don't think he's capable of that. But he let the players know that this win, this game means like everything to him.
Well, I guess you'd find out by their performance how much reverence they hold him in. Or how, like, if he's viewed even close to the same way his father was viewed, you get that if that speech happened, and they come out flat as a pancake, doesn't really reflect well on how much like he would be how his view is or the team views him. I should say, I think they're probably going to come out and treat this like certainly the biggest regular season game in years. I expect them to coach a little more aggressively as a result, And yeah, I think you wouldn't even have to give Art truth serum for him to say, I would rather win this game over any of the other 17 or 16 games on the schedule.
Yeah.
And depending on who the playoff game would be against, if they won a wild card game, I think if they beat like a really good team, he'd take that. But if they beat a haggard, beleaguered, injured, I don't know, the Colts or somebody has like a stunning season and then they get hurt late in the year. Mm-hmm. Jones is, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like some sort of team where you're like, there's a caveat here. I think he would take this over that.
I think that it doesn't divide Steelers fans like in a derisive kind of negative way, but I definitely think that it separates the backgrounds of Steelers fans incredibly.
Well, I think it's a referendum on how much the Rooneys still hold sway too, because I think Art has been a popular and understandable target of a lot of derision lately.
Well, I'm talking more about, yes, that's, but people get nostalgic about Dan and thinking about like him looking down, like Tomlin said, on them winning the game. And also, like, you have definitely run in these circles. You know what I'm talking about. Like, you've been to bars around St. Patrick's Day in Pittsburgh, and you know how people like to play up their Irish heritage and Irish background. There will absolutely be people throughout Pittsburgh who are dressed head to toe in green with some kind of Pittsburgh or Steelers paraphernalia on there too, who will like, you know, kiss a Blarney stone or like rub their shamrock tattoo or something like that before the game and treat this like it is some kind of all important game.
I know there are
those people definitely exist.
There are people who have the black and gold clover with DMR tattooed on their bodies in this town. There's no doubt.
I think our friend Big Ed does.
Yeah, I think he's
Ed the Vega, who has two signature tattoos, that one and then the PM team. Tattoo.
Which is just a legendary maneuver by
that Big moved Ed. Him ahead of Jeff in South Park on our rankings charts.
I always forget that Jeff is number two because Big Ed Vega surpassed him as the ultimate number one. Jeff saying if we could just work the PM team motif into a stormtrooper helmet, he would do it.
All right, Jason Mackey's over there. I feel like he's been there since Labor Day. And he's going to join us next. We'll see if we can.
He's actually at the citizenship office. He's going to be a dual citizen.
We're going to see if we can make it work technologically. Some reporting. Again, we've got Steelers insiders and media members in this town who have beaten the Steelers to Dublin, who are there before the Steelers even get there. Jason is one of them. He joins us next. And then Pomp is scheduled to join us at 3:15. That would be 8:15, Dublin time.
That's called pub time, my friend. Dude, have another Guinness.
And Donnie, don't you think Pomp's getting recognized up and down Dublin? Don't you think that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and he's shooting the finger guns. Hey, how you doing?
Who is he, Shooter McGavin?
Well, it's like when Pomp's going through the gym, he's probably wearing a nice polo. And he's getting like, hey, Bob Pompiani. Well, it's probably some like idiot like me who's out there with a Yinzer accent.
Well, I think Lisa went with him, so I think he's enjoying these couple
it's
of days
it's
before the game.
It's 8:15 at night. He's still saying, top of the morning to you. He's working in all the Irish.
And that Guinness is good. We're going to talk about that. And your call is at 412-928-9370.
Somebody stole me, Lucky Charm.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get a motion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at Ring.com.